I have two scripture lessons this morning from which the sermon will come and be based on. First is from Psalm chapter 86. I'll be reading verse 11 through 17, and then one you might find pretty familiar from Luke 2, verse 8 through 20. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart. And I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. And then from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, watching over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Here ends the reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Glory. Now, if you go to virtually any online Bible search tool, like BibleGateway.com, for example, and you do a search for the word or some kind of a phrase involving glory, you get pages and pages and pages of results. The Hebrew scriptures are particularly packed full of the word glory, and usually the word is found in reference to God, and it continues into the Christian scriptures we call the New Testament, with gospel depictions of the presence of God and the glory therein. Throughout the scope of the scriptures, glory ordinarily has to do with other terms like shining and light. God is light. Light surrounds humanity within the lessons of our faith traditions. God's presence is illuminated by this mysterious sense of glory and often accompanied by wonder. God's deliverance, God's strength is with those in the scriptures, like that of a pillar of fire or the burning bush, or now in the birth stories of Jesus, the star and the host of angels bringing their singing and their songs to the shining, bright glory of God. They show us that the appropriate response to this bright, shining glory is praise, wonder, awe. Now, today's message is about joy, and yes, I'm aware we're out of order with four Advent words and themes from what many churches ordinarily carry these out in. But relax, the tradition of these words, you see them here in our sanctuary on these banners hung alongside you, and the tradition of these themes, for that matter, into the season of Advent, don't really go back all that long. Research by Professor Hamig of Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, points to Johann Heinrich Wichern, a Protestant pastor in Germany and a pioneer in urban mission work among the poor, as the inventor of the modern Advent wreath in the 19th century. But during Advent, children at this mission school, founded by Wichern in Hamburg, would ask daily, "Has Christmas arrived yet? Are we there yet?" You're familiar with that kind of excitement if you've been around children approaching Christmas season. In 1839, Wichern built a small wooden ring made out of an old cartwheel with 20 small red and 4 large white candles. A small candle was lit successively every weekday and Saturday during Advent, but on Sundays a larger white candle would be lit. So this custom gained ground among Protestant churches in Germany and evolved into the smaller wreath, like you see over here today, with 4 candles around the outer ring and 1 white candle on the inside. Roman Catholics in Germany began to adopt the custom in the 1920s, and in the 1930s, it finally showed up in North America. Professor Heimig's research also indicates that this custom, this Advent wreath, did not reach the United States until the mid-1930s, even among German Lutheran immigrants. So I've chosen to go out of order, but don't let it catch you too off guard. We're not breaking that many years of tradition. I've chosen to go out of order a bit because I have chosen to err on the side of the 4 verses of Silent Night as we're celebrating its 200th anniversary of its debut this year. Glories and alleluias are connected with joy in this timeless song. And of course, we are way into the Christmas story by using Luke 2 today. Advent clause might not be that pleased with me. I also realize that some typical Advent scriptures that save the manger scene for Christmas Eve, that's common. But since modern people, yes, that would be us, do not really celebrate the 12 days of Christmas that begin Christmas Eve at midnight and usually go through 12 more days, January the 6th, it's not such a bad thing, in my estimation, to spend a bit more time with the birth account this year. So let's focus on these shepherds for just a bit today. Apparently, the shepherds didn't really feel so glorious, right in the middle of all that apparent glory. They were scared. Now, you'll notice this year in these remaining sermons, fear will come up each week in these birth stories. It will crop up each week in the texts. And the truth of the matter is, there may well have been much to fear for these shepherds. One Bible commentator I read described the likelihood that these were possibly not only the lowly in terms of job importance, these shepherds, but these may have been the lowliest shepherds as well, the hired hands, not the actual owners of the land or of the sheep, but rather indentured slaves of the lowest wage earners, working the night shift and literally living in the fields. Already, it is dark, and the varmints and critters are probably out prowling and crawling around. But then something that felt really and truly like the end of the world happened, as the story narrates it. The earth shook under their feet. There's a song like that, isn't there? And the truths of this story are not profound only if things happen one time to these literal people. That would be profound, I suppose, at one time. But there is something much deeper about these stories. Much more profound truth can be found in these stories that I think it's trying to tell us today. And that is that fear, if we're honest, can make us all feel like we're kind of on the edge. That there are times even today, not just one time years ago with these shepherds, but there are times today in our own lives, if we're really, really honest, when we are already jumpy, when we are already fearing unexpected changes to come our way, and we feel a little bit like everything that comes our way could be a potential threat. The truth is, we get hyper aware. And we get on the lookout for bad stuff because we hear about it so quickly on the news, on our phones, and virtually everywhere we look or listen. Dr. Bruce Perry was recently quoted in an article in Time magazine saying that when people are frightened, the intelligent parts of the brain actually cease to dominate. Think about it for a minute. In other words, when faced with a threat, the cortex in the brain responsible for risk assessment and actions actually shuts down, ceases to function, and logical thinking, when we're truly scared, is replaced by overwhelming emotions that tend to favor short-term solutions and often sudden knee-jerk reactions. Now, I have come to realize and recognize in myself that when I feel overwhelmed, I start to enjoy life a lot less. How about you? And who doesn't in this fast-paced, high-expectations kind of world? Am I the only one who is prone to start thinking or even obsessing constantly about how to solve whatever problems seem to be unavoidably staring me right in the face? Am I the only one who is prone to stop seeing all the good right under my nose when there is something big looming in the not-so-distant future that I really need to handle? Let's notice the angel's message in the birth story. We've got really good news, they said. This is another term often used in the scripture surrounding God's presence and strength. Hey, you shepherds over there, shaking in your boots, you're not alone. God's presence has made a landing. This day is born a Savior, your Savior. And we have some really good and joyful news for all the people. Now, sometimes the truth is we miss some of the joyful news around us because we're distracted and we're jumpy with fear, just like these shepherds. This is a story about the transformation from fear to joy, from panic to praise. The glory streams all around us if we only have eyes to see. The goodness, a sense of the divine presence and peace and strength are all around, and perhaps when we're honest and really look inside, we can even find these glories, this strength, a sense of the divine presence in us. To borrow a phrase that has been in the movie theaters lately, a star is born every single time we allow ourselves to embrace joy and let our inner star, the glory within us, light up the world. We tend to call famous people who appear in movies stars, right? But my friends, we are like stars that light up our world when we allow the inner light, the gift of God within us, to spill out and stream glory all over the place as we share who we are and what we've been given. We've got this weird inner conflict going on that tends to hold us back, you see. We have it in our heads that we are supposed to behave seriously and responsibly. You know, we call it adulting these days. That's what we're supposed to do, whatever that means. And so sometimes, if we're honest, we get embarrassed by joyful expression. I mean, you know, that's just childish, we think, or we act like, or we say behind the scenes. We get embarrassed, maybe, of joyful behavior because the more we get concerned, the older we get, the more concerned we get about appearances, the less joyful behavior we tend to allow ourselves to exhibit. It is also very possible that our church experiences have conditioned us to be a bit less glorious and joyful, even as we proclaim the very best news in the world. Maybe we tell ourselves that we should not be so concerned with all of the bad things happening in the news and in the world, because it would just be disrespectful to take time to belly laugh or to gasp in delight. Who knows exactly why in many church cultures it seems like people don't take time to seek out beauty or to laugh or to see the world through the lenses of wonder. Perhaps the silence of our own night has become paralyzed, instead of by joyful anticipation, by fear. And so we have been conditioned by bad news, I think, that we forget there is plenty of good news if we only have the eyes to see it. We need to be reminded, as St. Francis of Assisi said, that there are beautiful, wild forces within us. Let them turn the mills inside and fill sacks that even feed heaven. I truly believe that joy is one of the most forgotten virtues of our day, that glad tidings of great joy for all people is what we are reminded came across the news wires at Christmas. Joy cannot connect with humanity apart from some human conduits, people just like you and me, to connect with the rest of the world to bring joy home. What are we scared of? Appearing trite or foolish or shallow? May these words from Marianne Williamson inspire you to seek out joy and share it like light spilling into the darkness this Advent. Marianne wrote, and you may be well familiar with these words, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? But actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, but every single one of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others." Friends, may God's glories stream through each of you. Because the really, really good news of Christmas is not just that a baby was born 2,000 years ago, but that God's light is also born today in each and every one of us. And that is really, really good news. So let the glories stream not only from heaven afar, but here on the earth, really close to where we all live. And when the darkness of our world seems like perpetual night, may we be willing to silence the darkness with the light we have each been given. The light of joy that wells up within each of us when we refuse to be confined and defined by the bad news and instead choose to respond to the really, really good news that the glory of God has indeed shone all around us and in us, and there is no need to be terrified, but instead we are free, thanks be to God, to respond in joy. Amen.